Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing our Sunday prep, and so I'm getting this out for you Saturday so you can enjoy your weekend with a little preparation for your Sunday. So I'm going to run down your Vegas lines and some of your practice stuff, because this one is actually a big week of practice stuff. So the first couple weeks, I've kind of been like hemming and hawing my way through some of these. This week's actually a big week. So I'm going to start right off the jump. Arizona at Jacksonville. It's a 7.5-point game, over under 51, 52, 51.5, somewhere in that range, depending on where you're looking. A couple of big ones here of note. Marvin Jones missed the day early in the week. Going to play. Not particularly worried about it here. It was a DNP, non-injury related. The place where you have the concern is Hopkins. So looks like AJ Green's fine. He's going to play. But three straight DNPs for Hopkins. It's a rib injury. He's questionable. You know, you usually don't play unless you get some practice in on Friday. Just a, you know, a DNP, DNP limited gives you a shot usually. It just doesn't look like it's going to be that way here for Nuke getting the opportunity for a limited. We just don't have that. So, you know, Dr. Gene brought up a good point. Nuke plays. Like, if he can play, he plays. And he doesn't need to practice, he plays. So, we'll see here. I think that's a key one to watch, because there's going to be some pivots early and often during the day. I think Nuke's going to be one of your key ones early on. So definitely an 11:30 watch. I'd watch Schefter and Rappaport tweets overnight too. But I definitely, the 11:30 window there is going to be a critical spot there for Hopkins. Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. 5.5-point home favorite here for Tennessee. 48 is the line. The big watch here is going to be Carson Wentz and what the quarterback situation is. DNP, DNP limited on Friday. So not great in terms of the ordering of that. You know, it gives him a shot to play, but two ankle sprain, I think he's going to be limited even if he's out there. So watch for that. It looks like it could be Jacob Eason. You know, I've added Eason. Just take a shot. And again, it was one of those things we weren't entirely sure how bad it was going to be for Wentz. And if it was going to be one of those things where it's like, hey, this could be a short-term IR stint, I thought it's worth a shot on Eason, because, you know, hey, listen, if he gets like a three-week stint and it's pretty good, like, he could win a job. Again, I think that's an unlikely thing, but you're looking for, you know, you're looking for those high-end impact things. That's definitely one. So I'll be watching here for that ultimately. I've actually heard some people calling to move on from the Wentz experiment. I don't agree with that. I've been pretty critical of Wentz. I don't think you don't move on from this experiment after 2 weeks because he has two sprained ankles. Like, that's just not the – yeah, like, he does some stupid stuff that gets himself in trouble. But this isn't what you do in this circumstance. So I'm fine with, you know, keep giving him your shot. Like, you made this decision, like, that's your shot at a franchise quarterback. Like, see it through. So no real other concerns here for Indy other than Carson Wentz. Paris Campbell, a couple limited practices early, but nothing really. He's not listed. He had a full practice on Friday, so not really worried there. And that's pretty much it there for Indy. So it's a full go for Paris Campbell, full go for Jonathan Taylor and everything like that. So good to see there. Limited practice, full for AJ Brown. Love to see that. Julio, not listed at all. No restrictions. Love to see that as well. Anthony Firkser, DNP, DNP, DNP out. So listen, I think at this point, like, I'm not even sure he's that close. I might cut him outside of 28. Is like probably the tightest you're going to keep him. And it's probably even tough at that range. Like, I've noticed, like, I just think it's really, really tough to keep guys that you can't really project, you know, because we're starting other tight ends. We've got, you know, tight ends in our flex. We've got a lot of backup running backs. We're playing the match, you know, the matchup thing there. And it's just really tough to roster someone that has zero chance of playing. It's like stashing like Hunter Long or something like that. It's really tough to do at that depth when it's super flex. So, you know, that's the thing there with Firkser. It's going to be tough to roster him there. Again, maybe he's a priority add. Like once we start seeing him practice, like you go and you get on that, but have a hard time doing that right now. Derrick Henry, good to go. DNP on Wednesday, but you know, I talked about his routes run, like really up, pretty remarkable here. So I'm really interested to see if he's going to continue a passing game role. Next team up here, you have the Baltimore Ravens at Detroit. It's a 50 over under. Baltimore, 7.5, 8-point road favorite. So I think the key thing, and I'll just note, all these games are at 1 o'clock, so you do have some time to sort of sort these things out. So again, that 11:30 inactive window on some of these games is really key. And this is another one of them. Marquise Brown, limited practice Wednesday, DNP Thursday, limited practice Friday. So that definitely throws a wrinkle in it, given your don't love to see that DNP in the middle, right? Because that screams aggravation. And so that's one we're definitely going to have to watch in terms of him being potential out for the week. So he's definitely one you're watching injured. And maybe we even know overnight what the angle is. We might get a late night Friday or Saturday and a Sunday morning Schefter Rappaport tweet on Marquise Brown, on Hollywood Brown. Lamar Jackson missed a day during the week, illness, non-COVID related, so that's good. Always need to caveat that. And nothing really else of note. Ronnie Stanley's still out for offensive tackle, their offensive lineman. They kicked Alejandro Villanueva over to the left side into Ronnie Stanley's place. That's his natural position, so it shouldn't be too much of a loss. I mean, Ronnie Stanley is a really good left tackle, but having Alejandro Villanueva there, it's like it's passable. Like they can totally play. So not a huge, huge, huge concern there. Ultimately, and we saw how they dominated last week anyways. Flipping over to Detroit, concussion here for Tyrell Williams goes to IR. So if you have him, you know, I'm not sure you need to keep him. And, you know, like if you have him in safe leagues, like I'm not sure you need to keep him given that he's on IR. That's my initial sort of inclination there. And maybe you do, like maybe there isn't someone you'd rather have over him. But again, I'm not sure how he's getting in lineups. And ultimately, like if it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks, like that's a lot of time. And so, and these 28-man rosters, like the more like we're sort of working on roster restructuring and all that stuff, like having people on the back end of your roster that cannot play is, or you don't have like a way to like see them playing here in the next month, it can be really tough. I know it's a long-term game, but you need to be short-term on some of those back end of the roster type situations unless you have an elite asset there, and it's really tough there with him. Jamie Collins is being held out. Just this is notable. DNP, non-injury, DNP, non-injury, DNP, non-injury. They're doing the the basketball tell the person to stay, the John Wall treatment. Like, stay home. We're going to try and trade you. Just don't come in because we don't want you to get hurt. That's the treatment that they're giving him. Otherwise, groin for DeAndre Swift, limited, limited, limited. He should be good to go. Jamal Williams was on last week's and is off this week. So good news there. Good news there for sure. All right, so let's flip over to the Washington football team against the Bills. And this is a 45.5-point over-under. It's a 7-point home favorite here for the Bills up in Orchard Park. And for Washington, limited practice for Gibson, full, should be good to go. So that's something that we definitely like to see there. And then for Buffalo, there's a Cole Beasley non-injury DNP early in the week, should be good to go. Limited, full for Gabe Davis, should be good to go. None of these guys list as questionable at all. There's some missed days here and there throughout the week for their wide receivers, but otherwise, no one is listed as actually injured. They're just all getting variety of vet days there. So not a whole ton to watch there in terms of your your injuries or anything like that. That one's a pretty clean game. Let's turn to New Orleans going up to New England, and this should be an interesting one. The open was 46.5. It's trended down to like 42.5, so that's notable there. No real injury concerns there for New Orleans, so that's good. It looks like everyone should be a go. No even limited practices on offense. And so there's some problems with their defense. Like they're kind of racked by some defensive injuries, but it looks like they're getting some of their guys back. In terms of, you know, limited and full practices throughout the week there with some like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think had like that really bad injury earlier on. Like he's trending back. So yeah, good to see them sort of getting healthy. Be interesting matchup here when they go up to New England. I would pay attention to, again, this is still a 1 o'clock game, so I'd pay attention to Ramondre Stevenson status and all that stuff, like see who the inactives and actives are there. Limited full for Damian Harris, not listed as injured in any way, so pretty interesting there. Should be good to go in that game. So that's one where, like, I'm starting Kamara. Like Damian Harris, probably start him. Like they're a home favorite, so, but again, it's not a high total, so you're kind of like on Damian Harris, like, you know, probably starting your tight ends and Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Like they're probably in your flex conversation for safe leagues and whatnot, but not a ton of other options here that I feel really great about in this game. You know, maybe you play Jameis, but again, against Belichick up in Foxborough, like, man, I don't necessarily love it. All right, one of the games of the day. Again, this is still 1 o'clock. So for these injuries, for these roster things, like these are still 1 o'clock. Not a ton of mystery here. Full practice throughout the week for Austin Eckler. He's the only guy sort of listed on the injury report at all, and he's not even listed. So for what that's worth. Feeling good about that one. He is ready to go. And this is a 7-point home favorite here for Kansas City. 55 total. This could light up the scoreboard here with these two offenses. Nothing too major of note. Frank Clark, doubtful with a hamstring injury, which he looks like he suffered in week. So for what that's worth. It should be one less person to get after Justin Herbert. So going to be a really interesting game there. Again, I'm like, this just seems like a cram them in game, like play, you know, maybe even Jared Cook, right? Playing your wide receivers, on the Chargers in the form of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, like playing your quarterbacks, obviously. Like I actually have a theory that this is actually a Clyde Edwards-Helaire game. Because the Chargers are going to, yeah, I remember this, like the Bills approach last year was like just inviting Kansas City with a couple of high safeties and a really light box, like inviting Kansas City to run for like 5.5 yards a carry. And they obliged to the tune of like 32 touches for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It was like outrageous. And it happened like kind of early, like this time last year. And, like I could see that happening again here. Like that total, like the exact same thing where the Chargers are just playing this super deep shell, you know, too high safety shell. Like, hey, run at us to sort of use that as a way to limit Mahomes. It'd be so interesting to see that happen. But yeah, so I think this is a get right game for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm really interested for this one. I think it could be a get-right game for him. All right, Atlanta at the Giants. This one could be less than like appealing on the eyes. So I haven't checked the home market schedule here, but this could absolutely be we're flipping the Ryder Cup on type of scenario here. So I don't think that I'm really hoping that they're not in my home market here. So I'll definitely have to watch for that. But a couple notes here. Russell Gage is actually a DNP for the entire week and out. So it's Calvin Ridley, like it's Pitts. Maybe it's even a Cordarrelle Patterson game. Like I've actually found myself pretty tempted to get Cordarrelle Patterson like in my wide receiver 3 range, like where I'm like I had Landry in a spot you know, I think I had another injury in a spot. I can't remember exactly who it was. It just was like, man, I got like Cordarrelle Patterson's right here, and it's like, it feels like a really good, like, safe floor situation. Like, I'm not going to whiff. And if he rushes in a touchdown, like, I'm doing pretty well there. So I think that's something to maybe consider with the shortage of, like, Russell Gage as well. So just keep that one in mind. Like, he can definitely be on in lineups and in your flex consideration, and should be, honestly, with how he's being used. Maybe this is even a get-right game for Barkley. Like, that'd be really nice. Like, they're a home, you know, they're home three-point favorite here, and it's a 48, 47.5 type line there, over-under. This could be one that'd be good to get Barkley going. It could be really nice to see that happen. So he's limited throughout the week and not listed as an injury status, so he's a full go. Evan Ingram, questionable with a calf, limited practice. I think, like, he should be good to go. This could be one of those, like, get him in too. Kenny Galladay, limited, questionable with a hip, but he should be good to go. Kadarius Toney, limited a couple days here late in the week, but no injury status listed. So, you know, maybe that's just the shoes not fitting again or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, this could be a really interesting one to play your guys. And again, I'm a little bit more bullish on Daniel Jones than I probably should be. So just keep that in mind. And when you sort of look at, you know, when you look at some of the stuff, like one of the 27th in terms of PFF grade for the Falcons defensive coverage unit, you know, their pass coverage there, like, just pretty dismal there. And then you look, like, they have the worst pass rush according to PFF's grades too. So, like, this could be one where Daniel Jones, like, fire up the Giants there. Like, this could be one where that absolutely makes some sense to do. Atlanta, you know, I think they're limited. Like, even the running defense is, like, middle of the pack. So I just think, like, overall, you have a really good opportunity here to play your Giants guys. So, for what that's worth, it might sound crazy, but here I am touting this. And this could be another game, like, where you get Daniel Jones, like, progressing and maybe even upticking in value. Like, this is a really interesting spot here for them as they sort of continue to progress. And I'm somewhat enthused to watch Daniel Jones sort of continue to improve, because I kind of have a soft spot for the people that get trashed by the big-time media prior to coming out. So him and Justin Fields certainly on that list. Okay, Cleveland is playing home against Chicago. 7-point favorite, 44.5, 45, 44, you know, depending on where you're looking, right in that line. Okay, it looks like at present we're getting Odell Beckham Jr. back. Full practice. Not listed as an injury status. I think, like, they have to, like, if there's question about him playing, he has to be questionable. So there isn't. So it looks like he's a full go. Again, I don't know. There's been enough shenanigans this season where I'm just like, okay, like, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. So I think he's probably, like, gonna play. Crazier things have happened, so I'll be watching for that. I'm rooting for seeing him. Like, this is a really good player. I'd like to see get back. He's highly entertaining. So be watching that one. Again, he's probably not one I feel great about getting in the lineups at this particular moment, just because, you know, you're. Even though you have, like, we don't know what the pitch count's going to be. We don't know those sorts of things. Like, it's going to be one of those ones, like, given his arc coming into this, like, I just kind of rather see it before I rely on it. Like, so again, if I absolutely need a guy, like, it's fine to put him out there. But again, I'm if I don't absolutely need him, I'm not going to force him in. He's got a 50 overall in terms of wide receivers. His start rate's 29%. So that should give you an idea, kind of just think about where you are on that line. If you're starting him, just think of the types of roster decisions that go into that. It's for him being like a 29-30% guy. Now, maybe that even ticks up as the weekend goes on. It's, you know, some of these guys, if you know, Hopkins is unable to go, or Marquise Brown, some of these other early game guys are unable to go. Like, this could be a pivot spot. You know, Deontay Johnson's unable to go. Like, you're going to see – we haven't got to Pittsburgh yet, but you're going to see some opportunities here for, like, Odell Beckham Jr. to actually see an uptick and start rate. So just sort of keep that in mind as well. It wouldn't shock me if he got up to, like, a 50-50 shot. And again, so if you have one of those guys, you need to make a pivot. That's the type of scenario that I would do it. But outside of that, like, let me just see it first. Let me just see it before we rely on it. And, you know, hopefully next week on, he's a must start each week, especially without Landry. Like, there's absolutely opportunity here, 100% opportunity for Odell Beckham Jr. to get back in line. And one of the things I was saying is, you know, was I was sort of studying this team. I was like, I just, like, really, really tough to see the target volume. It's not now. It really isn't. With a healthy Odell Beckham and an injured Jarvis Landry, it's not hard to see 120 target pace, you know, 7.5, 8 target pace. It's not hard to see that. So just sort of bear that in mind. Like, I still think a higher range of outcomes is possible for him. And maybe it's ultimately not, because he's not great in terms of, you know, being super effective coming off the knee injury or whatnot. But from a volume perspective, I think that he can still get there. So definitely be watching that. All right. So that's the Odell Beckham Jr. corner. No real major other injuries here for Cleveland. But I do think it somewhat bears, you know, some, no pun intended, it bears some discussion here, just because he's a bigger name. And it's not someone that I don't think I've even talked about him since the season started. All right, Chicago, the aforementioned Bears, DMP all week for Andy Dalton. He is not going to play. Jimmy Graham, DMP on Wednesday, full practice Thursday, Friday, full go. Justin Fields going to be your starting quarterback. Good to go. But for, he's playing a pretty good Cleveland defense. So, keep that in mind. You know, we'll see there. Darnell Mooney is limited. You know, if I'm thinking along the lines of, like, hey, what do we want to do with Fields? Like, you know, how confident are we? Again, we just sort of go over to MFL start rate and just sort of see what the market's doing. And that gives me some indication. Yeah, it's not the end all be all, but it gives me some indication. And he is at quarterback 27. So it's at 21%. So, again, when you get into that range, that's not a perfect number either, because that's assume, you know, there's a mix of super flex and start one, so you're just not, you don't see a full, you don't it's not totally reflective of his start rate in terms of you know, if it was all super flex or anything like that. He's much higher probably in the super flex leagues, but I would say just keep in mind more the order with quarterbacks. He's 27th on the list. So that sort of gives you an idea. He's one. Let's see it before it happens, outside of being utterly necessary. Darnell Mooney, limited. That's usually a sign you can go. So just keep that one in mind. But he's probably not on many rosters here at our analytics at Dynasty Corner. But possible that he is, so just keep that one in mind. All right, Cincinnati, and they are a road dog, a 3-point road dog to Pittsburgh. Doubtful here for T. Higgins. DNP limited, so that's not great in terms of where he's going to be at going into this week. So I have him in a couple spots. Going to need to get him out. And we'll see there. I did listen to Dr. Gene. He said that usually it requires, the Bengals usually require someone to play on Thursday to go. So for what that's worth, that's something that we picked up. I think he said the same about the Steelers too. But there's a lot of skepticism, I guess, coming out about Higgins. So be cautious about that, and that's confirmed by the doubtful status. And it's not really entirely sure what's wrong with him either. It's some sort of shoulder thing. Dr. Jean was uncertain about if it's partial dislocation or whatever with how it happened. So just bear that in mind. Like, this could be a one-week injury. It could be a couple-week injury. So be mindful there about your waivers and all that stuff with the receiver position. I doubt anyone's really a beneficiary. I mean, Tyler Boyd, right? Jamar Chase, maybe Auden Tate, someone like that. That's maybe a deeper down the line type of situation. But I'm not going to run out Auden Tate unless I absolutely need to. And it's going to be hard to see where that's going to happen. Deontay Johnson out. I think I mentioned him earlier. He is out for this game. DNP, DNP, DNP the whole week. So we'll look and see here. You know, maybe it's a situation where we get him back next week, but not going to play this week. Eric Ebron, full go. Roethlisberger, DNP, limited full. So he's not even listed as injured on the injury report, so that's good to see. Again, this is going to be one of those ones where 43.5, relatively low number across the board this week at home. I think you probably play Juju, you probably play Chase Claypool. You know, I'd probably play your guys in this, and especially now that you don't have Deontay Johnson, you're not going to have Higgins. Like, it's going to be a little bit more consolidated, so you're going to feel, I think, a little bit better, even though the total's kind of low, and this could, you could see this being like a 16-13 game. It's got that written all over it. You could still see it consolidate decently into one less key offensive player on both sides. Like, you could definitely see it consolidate into that a little bit and be pretty attractive for guys like Juju and that sort of thing, and Chase Claypool and Jamar Chase and Boyd, like those sorts of guys in that range there. So, all right, Miami, and so those were all the 1 o'clock games. So Miami at Vegas, in terms of 4 o'clock game start. So these are the 4 o'clock games. Again, now you have to, one thing like you have to worry about with some of these games is, you know, you don't know when you're making your 1 o'clock decisions if the what's going to happen in the 4 o'clock ones. My general rule of thumb and piece of advice would be bank certainty. So if you have a guy that's going to go and you have a game time decision or something like that, and you're choosing, so you have one that's going to go at 1 o'clock, but you have a game time decision, and maybe that's at 4 o'clock or even at 8 o'clock this week, or heck, even on Monday. If you don't have a pivot in that range, like, just go with the guy that's going to get you, that's in, like, just go with, you know, and the difference between a couple points of difference in projections or something like that is going to totally make up for the chance you'd take a zero. So just bear that in mind there. So, and some of these games will have those situations. So just be mindful of that. There might be games, again, we're going to go through this, but there might be games where in this 4 o'clock window where you have multiple different guys that are out. Alexander Mattison, for example, like, there's going to be some other opportunities in this particular window that you have that you can sort of pivot off of each other too. So keep that in mind when you're sort of making these decisions. This is absolutely a week where I think you spend a little bit more time thinking about your roster decisions in terms of availability of guys than you might otherwise think. Dolphins, obviously without Tua, DMP, DMP, DMP. So I think that actually brings into concern some of next week too. So just sort of bear that in mind. If Brissett's available, I've picked him up just for shiggles and gets, just to see what happens. I'm probably not playing him this week. This Vegas defense is actually somewhat legit, but I've got Brissett there just in case. Like, he might show something, it might happen. Like, be vigilant about him being on the wire there. Doubtful for Jacobs, DNP all week, so he hasn't practiced. It's gonna be second week here without Jacobs. So surprised. I'm really hopeful that he plays next week, or otherwise I don't know why they didn't just IR him. So keep that in mind. So we'll see there. You know, that give me some hope for next week there with his ankle and foot issues going on. So we'll see. Full practice all week for Derek Carr. There was some thought, like, on maybe like Monday, Tuesday, some of like the big media nationally was like, oh, Derek Carr's at risk, and he's not. So good to go. He's playing pretty well, and this defense is really hunting for him too. So I like to see that. All right, then there's really nothing else there in this win in this game. So should be a really interesting one there at home, and three and a half, 4 point favorite there for Miami, 44 over under. Man, I don't usually give out advice and lines and stuff, but I'd be curious. That seems like a low total to me. I don't know. Maybe it seems like a low total. I don't know. It seems like Vegas could move the ball in Miami, but who knows? All right, Denver home against the Jets, and talk about games that like are might be tough to watch. 10.5 point home favorite for Denver, an over under of 31. This could be dismal for the Jets. Not a ton of respect there for the Jets in terms of implied team totals nor lines. So looks like Tevin Coleman. So I believe, and I saw this in the Football Guy staff chat, that that actually Tevin Coleman has he has sickle cell, which I didn't know. And if I don't remember knowing this. At least it wasn't front of mind. So it does look like he's ruled out. So he got a full practice in on Friday, but he's out. He's not playing because it has to do with the oxygen. And I think it almost killed somebody. If it was Ryan Clark or something, like it was really bad scenario for someone relatively recently in terms of that had sickle cell. And I want to say it was Ryan Clark that got really, really sick because of playing at altitude. So Tevin Coleman, I don't even know if he's going to travel, but so this could be a Ty Johnson game. Again, this is something we've talked about. Like if this could consolidate into one guy, you know, who's the beneficiary? Well, I think it's probably a beneficiary of Ty Johnson this week. So he could be one that is on the flex radar. If you need a guy, like I think you could potentially see Michael Carter be flex viable this week too. So we'll see what some of these other injuries and that sort of thing has to say about that. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at these, and it's still early yet in the week for some of the lineup decisions, so you might not otherwise have gotten a full robust set of lineups that don't have, you know, that have made conscious thoughts for on Tevin Coleman being out, but both sub 10% start rate guys, I could see them going higher. So, and that's a number that I absolutely watch for here going forward in terms of that start rate for them, in terms of it dictating potentially being in lineups and that sort of thing. All right, Denver. Denver is they're limited full, no problems. Everyone else pretty good. Judy obviously out. Sutton practices all week, so no real concerns there for them. Yeah, this could be a really good game. They could go to 3-0 and be really compelling. This Denver team. So I'm probably not going to tune in for it, but it'll be interesting to watch. This might be a home market game too, which would be quite disappointing now that I'm actually doing the math on where I am and who's covering what this week. Dreading the fact that this could actually be a home market game. Okay, Tampa and the Rams, because this is the game that I want to watch in my home market. Tampa and the Rams. Tampa is basically a full go, non-injury DMP for Gronk late in the week, but otherwise good to go here for the offense. Like it's really nice with them. The only issue is actually Antonio Brown being out with some COVID stuff. So just be careful. I don't think he can play this week based on he'd need a couple of negative tests and all that stuff. So just keep that one in mind. I believe he's going to miss the week. So I don't think – I was doing some of the math and whatnot on him earlier actually this week, and I believe it was going to be a really tough call because he would have to get two negative tests, and it was unclear at the time when he when he had actually tested positive. So, and if he's vaccinated, I'm not sure on all that, but if he was vaccinated, it was going to be like really close on whether he could play. So, so I'm assuming that he's out. That consolidates into Evans, into, into Gronk and Godwin, right? That sort of consolidates there. So that's where I'm thinking. And again, I would monitor any of his teammates too. Just watch the COVID reports for them coming out here on Saturday and Sunday, just to make sure that there aren't any issues there, close contacts or anything like that. Okay, with the Rams, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but I will mention it again. 55.5. It's a 1-point road favorite there for Tampa. No super injuries outside of Daryl Henderson. DMP the whole week with ribs. It doesn't look like he's going to play, so you get Sony Michel. It's a high total. So, again, I'm not sure what the game script's going to be, but Vegas likes it to be relatively close. It's home for the Rams, and it's a high total. So this is a scenario where I think Sony Michel could be – he's never going to be the sexiest guy to start, but he could be a 70-80% snap share guy and be viable. 23% start rate as of right now, running back 39. I've got to imagine that's going to go up. Like, for example, Daryl Henderson's still in 33% of lineups. So as that sort of – right, that's going to phase down. You're going to see Michel go up as people start setting lineups for their Sunday games here. So I would imagine that's going to get – like, that's probably going to get into, like, the mid running back 3 type range, sort of be my thought. Like, you're going to see him in kind of the, you know, Mike Davis, Javonte Williams type range there. There's some other guys right in that window that have some injury stuff going on, like Elijah Mitchell, for example, is, like, sort of in that range. So and, you know, Jacobs is still in 24% of lineups as I'm recording this. So you're going to see some movement there. I think Sony Michel probably gets up. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he was running back, like, 24 through 28 in terms of start rate by the end of the week. James Robinson's going ahead of him, for example. Like, James Robinson's at 56%. Like, I'd rather have Sony Michel, I think, than James Robinson. Just all told, like, it's just an overall better situation. And yeah, so that's the really big one. And then we'll watch for Daryl Henderson. You know, let's just make sure there's no, like, late IR ad, anything like that. So that way he's going to miss a bunch of weeks, you know, with this injury. But a little concern here with the DMP. And, you know, listen, the Rams took some flack for taking on Sony Michel, but looks like it's that bit of security has helped. Jake Funk, probably add him, you know, just deeper down the line. If you need a guy, if, you know, we're thinking it's probably not a long injury for Henderson. So you're probably thinking, like, if anything, it's maybe a one start thing for Jake Funk. So bear that in mind, maybe 30 man, something like that. It's probably tough to get him in on 28 man. But if you're rostering a piece of dead weight there, for example, like if I had Corey Clement, give me Jake Funk. Or someone like, you know, that's similar type of a running back 3. Just give me a shot at Jake Funk, because if Sony Michel goes down, Daryl Henderson doesn't come back, like, that could be a spot start. So just optimizing. That's just all. Okay, next up is Seattle and Minnesota. And so this game is it's in Minnesota. Seattle, a 1.5, 2-point road favorite, 55. Over under. So again, another big number, a couple defenses that really can't stop anyone. D. Eskridge out with a concussion, so he's been out all week, so concerning there. That's not great. You like see, like, a limited practice just to know that they're progressing, because that's part of the protocol. That's not great. I mentioned that, like, I was watching the Sermon one, and we'll get to that in a second. But Sermon, I think it was, like, by Wednesday, he had limited practice. And that's, like, multiple steps along the line. And I was just comparing it to, like, my wife had a concussion recently, and she's fine now. But, like, it was, like, 4 weeks later where I think she would have passed. I don't know anything about this. But it was 4 weeks later until she was, like, back to regular. I don't know, like, what the baseline test would have entailed. But I don't think she would have passed it for, like, 4 weeks. It's just pretty wild. So it's good to see, like, when you see a guy like Sermon really progress through it quickly, like, it's really good news, because these things can definitely linger. So so hopefully Eskridge gets back. Like, you know, we're rooting for that. That's no joke with those concussions. Rashad Penny's out. DMPs all week with a calf. Right, that's just what we're dealing with. Freddie Swaim is DMP limited full. So he's going to be your wide receiver three there. Probably not going to play him, but I guess he's like fringe if you needed like a what the heck flex, to borrow a term from my football guys, colleagues. Like, he's one that, you know, if you think the game's going to go crazy, he's going to play the wide receiver three range. Like, he could be viable. Delvin Cook, DMP, DMP, DMP. Probably not going to play. You know, big number here in terms of the over-under. This could be a Madison week. Alexander Madison, come on down. We're here for you. We have you. So, again, this is one of the big ones in terms of getting folks in lineups. I suspect we'll know Sunday morning if Delvin Cook's going to play or not. I would suspect that we would know that. So just sort of bear that in mind. So that'll be Schefter tweets. It'll be tweets from Rappaport, those types of guys that sort of do that midnight, you know, 4 a.m. rundown of all the information dump that they have on player injuries. I think Delvin Cook's probably going to be one of those guys that tells us he's not going to play. So this could be an absolute fire up the band type situation for Madison. We've been teased before, but listen, I'll say this about this Madison game. It's at home, darn it, and a big total. So we've done the big total thing with them, and they got absolutely housed at Atlanta. So they're at home this week. Again, they're an underdog, but they're at home. So big number. So definitely Madison. I would be thinking he gets into a lot of lineups. Again, it's tough to trust the number in terms of start right now, because he's like barely in lineups yet. But if Delvin Cook's not going to play, like, this could soar. Just think, like, who do you feel better about? You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a home start from Madison. Like, Damian Harris, or a home start from Madison. Like, Miles Gaskin, James Robinson. So that's, like, totally in the running back two type range. And then you could even go up a little bit further, like Edmonds, Sanders, you know, like that's right into the high running back two range you're thinking. So I think, like, it's probably a full go. I'd be surprised if Madison's not in a ton of lineups this week if Delvin Cook doesn't play. So bear that in mind. Sunday night football. So again, the big keys there are, you know, Madison's a pivot in the 4 o'clock window. Antonio Brown, I'm sure we'll know probably beforehand about that, about him playing and the COVID stuff with him. So keep that in mind. And then, you know, you have your pivot to like Ty Johnson and the 4 o'clock window there for the Jets. Michael Carter, if you need it. So, and then the 8 o'clock window, you're getting Philly, Dallas, 3.5, 3, depending on, I guess, where you're looking here with Dallas and Philly. I actually just pulled off a Dak trade. I'm going to put all the stuff together because it's actually an interesting cascade. So I did a cascade. Essentially, it turns into a cascade trade for Dak. So I'm going to detail that. I'm going to do some trade stuff over the next week here, sort of reset the market a little bit and get some more data. So no real injury concerns here for Philly. It's pretty straight up there. Nothing. It's some offensive line stuff and whatnot, but not any major concerns with skill player position decisions, anything like that. And with Dallas, Cooper limited full on Friday. So Saturday is their normal Friday. Like, he should be good to go. Shouldn't be a concern at all there. So again, that's actually that's actually the Monday night game. So Philly, Dallas, the Monday night game, no real injury concerns. And then I'll take a step back here. I missed this. I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn. Green Bay, San Francisco is the Sunday night game. So Green Bay, San Francisco, Sunday night game, no real injury concerns for Green Bay. For San Francisco, it's a wasteland. So again, this is part of the concern. And I suspect that we will know the answer to this stuff on Sunday night. So Elijah Mitchell is, or by Sunday morning. So Elijah Mitchell is DNP, DNP limited. He is doubtful for the game. So I'm on the not going to play side of that. Jamichael Hasty is out. Trey Sermon, limited, full. He has to get cleared by a neurologist, but that should happen. So he's not even listed as an injury status. So it looks like he's good to go. Maybe he's already been cleared. So that's good. That's like what we want to see here. So 3-point home favorite. How much do we trust them? I'll tell you, if I will tell you this for unequivocally, if it's a choice between Madison and Sermon, we're putting Madison in our lineups and we're not screwing around. Like, I've been messed with enough by Shanahan in the last 2 weeks to really not make me trust him and to sit there and stew on Sunday night. Like, yeah, we're going to play Madison and that's fine. Like, that's, you know, it's San Francisco against Green Bay is probably a better matchup for running back if we knew, but I'm playing Madison and I'm not really looking back. And if Sermon outscores Madison, then like, that's good news for the future, but I'm not worrying about this. Like, give me, like, I'm protecting my median and I'm taking Madison. So just know that in terms of that's a decision that we're going to make. I don't think there's a great pivot to Sunday night. I mean, like, Cedric Wilson, maybe. Like, I don't think there's a great pivot if for some reason you get like an Elijah Mitchell goes, right? And you're like, damn, like, we, you know, it's just, I don't know where the pivot is off of that. So I mean, maybe you could pivot to Dylan, you know, sort of across the game, or maybe just start, just say, hey, I'm going to play Sermon almost no matter what, and just eat whatever downside there is. Like, yeah, you could do that, but man, it's going to be, that'd be tough to watch. So that's really the deal, right? And so I did, that is Sunday night. And then again, Philly and Dallas is Monday night. I spoke those two out of turn. So just keep that in mind there. So again, be really paying attention to that 1 o'clock window to your injuries. And then the 4 o'clock window, again, I think we'll probably know a lot of these things earlier on, but that's 90 minutes before your game. So you're looking for, like, Minnesota, you're looking around 3 o'clock. So you got an hour and a half to make those decisions. Get some of the early 4 o'clock games. They're at 4:05 kick time. So you'll get your information out at about 2:30. So that's pretty much it. So lots to think about here over the weekend. Again, this is one that I would spend more time on. And if that's Saturday night, you know, I go basically an hour and a half. I just cram everything in, do all my lineups between 11 and 1 on Sunday. And then you can see like some of the data updating on MFL and stuff like that. You can sort of get an idea of where those guys come in terms of start rates and everything like that as that information gets ripe. So keep all those resources in mind, and I think this is a big week for that, you know, starting with Hopkins and right through the weekend. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.